Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Searching My Soul with Father Cole. And we are going to continue our conversation that we started in the last segment of the youth of... Is it just this archdiocese?
Well, no, it's not this archdiocese. It's just youth dissatisfaction in general with the church. And when I say the church in this sense, I'm referring to the Catholic Church, because this is a study that was conducted by the Center for the Applied Research of the Apostolate in Georgetown University. And they interviewed 214 former Catholics.
And why do you think that they wanted to do that study? Do you think they knew the answer kind of already and they wanted to get to the reasons behind?
Well, I think anyone with anyone who has eyes can see, and anyone who has ears hears, right? There is dissatisfaction. There's a reason people are leaving, right? And the question is, when you talk to people, it depends on where they are, on what side of the spectrum of why this is happening. For some, it's the church is too liberal. Others, the church isn't conservative. It's not authentic enough. How do you meet you as a parent, right? You have to admit, having a child today is completely different than when you grew up. We'll spare how many years ago it was, right? But what I'm getting at is it's different today, and I think the sorry old excuses and assumptions that we've always made, they're running out. And I think someone somewhere, researchers said, we have to name this. Because if we don't name this, if we don't identify, we're not going to have a church, a vibrant church, that's going to be able to support, evangelize, and go out and do as God tasked us with our universal baptismal mandate, right?
I think it was interesting when you said that to some, the church is too conservative. For some, the church is too liberal. We're talking about the same church.
Absolutely. But remember, just like, is there any one political party that suits everyone?
Right.
Is there any one brand of... Remember last segment I talked about how we're consumers, right? Is there any one brand of anything that everyone gravitates towards? No. We all have our preferences. We all have our biases. And how is it that we are shaped? Are we shaped by our own research, our own diligence? Are we shaped by those around us who might basically kind of be pulling us in one direction? Are we shaped by the messages of the world as a whole? So I think that's what these researchers tried to do, is to sit there and say, you know, what is the reason? Because let's face it, right? If you look at, and I'll use my parish as an example, it is conservative to say that within 15 to 20 years, 30% of my parishioners are going to be deceased. That's a hard number, but it's a real number. When the majority of your churches are in their, your majority of your parishioners are in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, those are the ones who are keeping the church afloat financially.
Is that
everywhere? Voluntarily. It's nothing is universal. Nothing is universal, but they can sit there and say the trend, it's more likely, right? So here's the thing, Mo. Go to daily mass, go to Sunday mass, go to the blood drive, go to all these events and activities. Who is it that is largely manning and staffing these?
It is
the faithful seniors who have been there.
The same 20%.
The same ones. And the question always is going to be is when they are experiencing their final reward, are the youth of this generation going to be stepping up to fulfill the same role as they did when they were in that age? And I think the answer is no, because it's a different world, right? So the church, though, has to figure out how we can attract and keep youth. Because if you're losing, it's like no different than a school, right? If you're a school that is losing 60% of your students, you have to sit there and say, we're a problem. If you're a church, if you're a store that is losing 50% of your customers, you know, I think maybe Sears and Kmart had that discussion a little too late, right? They relied, we're the biggest organization.
We're the Sears, yeah.
We're Sears. We have a big tower in Chicago.
Sears catalog, yeah.
So anyways, I think that's what this is. It's a genuine, sincere desire to figure out what we can do. So if you recall from the last segment, I mentioned that these researchers identified three groups of youth leave the church. And if you recall, I mentioned that 13 was the median age when kids decided that they were no longer going to be Catholic. And also, there's a high percentage. Remember, I said also, I think about 89%, I'll verify that, said that once their decision is made up, it's made up. In other words, once we lose these children, these young adults, it's going to be very hard to get them back.
Well, you mentioned the word consumer, though. Since when do we think of ourselves as faithful as consumers?
I think the analogy is pretty more appropriate than you would conveniently like it to be, right? Because here's the thing. If you go to a store and you don't get good service, if you don't get good products, are you going to continue to go and spend your money there?
Of course not.
No, unless it's the only store in town, right? Hence my Sears and Kmart example, right? For a while, they thought they were the only game in town, right? In small towns. So at some point, though, the internet came along, right? We became more mobile. And so now we have many options. And that's I've always said the beauty with the church is there's so many Catholic churches
relatively close to one another
that have different styles or whatever.
Different cultures.
So if one doesn't meet your needs, you can go maybe find another. But at the end, there is a core belief that we all have to adhere to because we are a creedal church. We are a doctrinal church. There are aspects of, yeah, you can sit there and say how we do liturgy might be a little bit different or how we catechize our youth might be a little different. But when it comes to celebrating the Mass, there's not a whole lot of opportunity to deviate. Either you have the current form of the Mass, it's called the Novus Ordo, or you have the Tridentine, the extraordinary form, in which, interestingly enough, is the statistics from the last census count is showing that actually the Latin Mass is increasing. And when you want to talk about youth are being more driven towards that, to the traditional Mass.
And what is that about?
Well, let's sit on that.
The three topics,
and then we'll get back to that because there's just so much. I mean, I think we could sit here and we could talk for hours.
We could.
So remember, when you talk about why young adults have left, you have the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S's. They just don't ascribe to any religious denomination anymore, right? Maybe they don't believe in God. Maybe they feel it's a scam. It's a gimmick. You know, organized religion. I don't need people telling me what to do when it comes to my faith. I can figure it out on my own.
May I ask another question, though?
Sure.
Where do their parents fall in this? I mean, are these 200 and some, are their parents still, of this survey, are their parents still practicing Catholics? Do we
know
that?
So I didn't go into the numbers that deep, but okay. what I can say is that the authors of the study of the summer, I didn't read the whole study. The whole study, of course, is about 300 pages. But there was an example of basically children will often follow the lead of their parents. So if their parents themselves are disaffiliated, disaffected, injured, whatever, these kids are going to be far more likely to also fall in that same
category.
Right? But on the other hand, the analog is not true. If these parents are strong, you know, Mass goers integrated into the life of the community, it's not necessarily assumed that their kids will automatically be that also. Remember, because in the end, each
God gives us free will.
Exactly. Each individual is different. So we talked about the three reasons. The first one was the injured. Remember, and those were people that maybe experienced a hardship or a tragedy in which God seemed to be absent. And that, you know, despite their prayers, despite their devotions, despite their sincere, really attempt to communicate with God, what they were praying for, what they asked for, did not happen. And I think as an adult, right, I would sit there and say, I am a type 1 diabetic. I can pray and pray and pray all I want and say, hey, heal me of this disease. But I know it's a chronic autoimmune disease. My pancreas is essentially dead. I can pray all I want. The only way I'm going to be healed is if I actually get a miracle. I have to be open to that. But what's the likelihood? Because everyone who suffers from a severe chronic disease at some point really, really, I think, bargains with God, right? And says, hey, you know, I'm praying, you know, if you fix me of this, I will do that. And so I think it's a natural reaction. But if God gave us everything we wanted, Mother Teresa said, then where would our trust or hope be, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it was simple as just saying, God, heal me of my affliction, my illness, then where does adversity come from? And that's actually going to be kind of a topic for another show that we talk about really why things happen to us. So I don't want to get into that now. But that's the injured person, right? They see everyone praying, everyone, you know, doing all they can, but yet the bad thing still happens.
Or as our kids once said about our list in the kitchen of all the people we're praying mm-hmm. for, does anyone ever get better?
Does anyone ever come off the list?
Because people just passed away.
So then the next one after the injured is the drifter, right? The drifter is one who typically had trouble connecting their identity as a baptized Catholic to their concrete life experiences in the real world, right? It's different being in school, being in college, but then when they enter the quote-unquote real world,
okay,
maybe the faith foundation that they had was not enough to sustain them into that. They struggle to articulate why being Catholic matters, so they just drift away from the church.
So are they not formed correctly?
Well, here's an interesting thing, and it goes to what you were talking about at the last your last question. The researchers noted that the influence that parents can have on those who are drifting away from the church, that the family unit can often drift away together. When parents feel inadequate to explain why their faith matters, their children aren't going to be able to understand it, right? So if the parents can't sit there and say, why going to church is important, and this is what I get from exercising my faith, this is what the Eucharist brings to me, it can't be coercive, right? It can't be, well, we do this just because we're obligated to and we have to. It's got to be more than just fulfilling an expectation or requirement, because that never lasts.
What about fear of the Lord?
Well, do you think that youth in general really have any genuine fear of anything? What do they fear? Where does fear, you know, I mean, we live in a world, right, where if a teacher, you know, does you bad, you complain about them, right?
Right, that's not how it should work.
you complain about them, right? And it's the same
You're
way, right?
You're spending too much time with families.
Right, well, where is really the fear? Where is the authority? Where is the line in the sand? Where are the boundaries for youth
Even
today?
With you, I'm sure, as a pastor.
Oh, all the time. I'm fearful of disciplining or calling out bad behavior because of the consequences.
And that's not how it used
no.
to be.
Oh, no, not at all. Nowadays, if you discipline a child, the child goes home and says, you know, Father yelled at me, and it used to be, well, you shouldn't have misbehaved. Now
yes.
I'm getting an angry phone call of, well, what did you do to upset him?
Right.
It's like, he was on his phone in class and talking back to the catechists. So you get to a point, though, where when you've gone down that road and you've dealt with parents who don't want to hear it, maybe they don't want to hear it from a priest, I don't know. But I think sometimes parents don't want to hear anything negative about their children from anyone, right? You just give up and you sit there and you say, okay. You don't even take their you don't even take their phone away anymore, because even that's a fight, right? That's real. That's real. Anyone who deals with young adults in the church experience that today. I've catechists who've quit teaching because the children are so undisciplined and unstructured. And you know, if that's happening in church, it's happening at home, it's happening in school. So when you ask the question about fear of the Lord, sadly, I think a lot of our youth, and I may be completely naive, and I'm not speaking from a real position of authority. What I'm speaking to is what I'm seeing myself and what I'm hearing from others. So those drift away, right? It's kind of like that man who built his house on a sandy foundation, right? The winds came, the seas came, and it just washed it away because mm-hmm. you don't have that strong foundation. So a drifter, it's got to be more than just, we do this just because we do it. I think so often, well, why do I have to do this? Well, because it's what we do. Then opens up, well, how come no one else, my friends, they don't have to do this. Have you ever heard that as a parent?
Oh, brother, yes. You are the only person.
The only one who cares. You're the only one who's making a big deal about this. And in some cases, there might be validity to that.
I think some cases there is validity.
Right.
But you stay the course.
Exactly, because you have to have children and young adults, they need structure and they need consistency. The last group, and I think it's probably the one that's the easiest to understand, and that's called the dissenter. Those are ones who actively rejected, rather than just kind of drift away or maybe feel like they were hurt and they just didn't seek it. These are ones who actually rejected the faith and left. Some of these people cited disagreement with the church's teaching on, it's no surprise, contemporary moral issues that we always struggle with, right? Birth control, same-sex marriage, sexuality. They feel the church is either outdated, they feel the church is hypocritical, they feel the church is mean, they feel the church is not loving, they feel the church is judgmental. You could name any other adjective, right? And that's the balance as a pastor, is how do you be authentic to the teachings of the faith? How do you be authentic to the moral issues? But then how do you actually say, hey, there are young adults who may not agree with you, and you have to... older adults, but this is focusing on the youth right now. Maybe next month we'll talk about why older people leave, because there are studies on that too. I think so often, more often than not, young adults have made up an assumption and they've made up their mind without even asking the question. So they think they understand what the church is teaching is on something. They don't like it, and they reject it, and they
never to be heard from
they
again.
They dissent. But often, if there is an opportunity to actually open the door and reengage with those conversations, I've often found that those assumptions that they've made are sometimes very different than how they understood it to be, right? I think that's true with a lot of things. We're quick to make assumptions. We see an article in the news, and we hear about an experience at one place, and we think that that is, you know, encompasses everything, right? And the fact of the matter is the Catholic Church worldwide is 1.2 billion people, right? There is 40,000 priests in this country. There are 350, 400 bishops. Do you think that every single one of them is in lockstep and barrel with the same understanding in the same way we teach the authentic faith? No, but hopefully, God willing, we all do our best to teach an authentic faith, which is also at the same time compassionate and engaging and allows room for discussion. So the dissenters, they've completely given it up. Interestingly enough, a lot of times people will say, you know, what about the abuse scandal? And interestingly, the researchers said that only 2% of those who left the faith cited the abuse scandal. I think hypocrisy is a bigger thing. And I think not believing or feeling that really the church is an institution for good. The last note is, I think we're running out of time. 87% of those former Catholics that said their decision to leave the church, they said it's final. 87% of who've left have said they will never have their mind changed. And so in the end, what do we do to welcome them? We need to create a place where young people can really wrestle with their questions of faith. We have to engage their doubt. We have to answer them in a non-judgmental way, but we have to be firm with morality. But the researchers, and I'll just end here, they said, we found that young people want to talk about their faith, but they aren't sure if they can do it without judgment. So how do we balance that with our authentic teaching, with the reality of sin, with the reality of right and wrong? You see how it's not an easy solution to anything. And even at the end of a 250-page research study, the authors, still all they could offer up was theory and ideas. I think the rest is up to us. Parents, you've got to engage your kids. Priests, pastors, everyone has to play a part in making them feel welcome and valued.
Thank you for coming in today. Very important topic. Searching My Soul with Father Cole is heard on KDWA AM 1460 and FM 97.7 in Hastings.